Morning, everyone. Can I get that? There we go. Perfect. Good to see you all. My name is Darren. Can we take it out of preview mode? And I won't do it. Even better. All right. Well, there we go. I don't know. That looks like. Can you see it still? All right, well, let's try this. You guys sound good. We've been very disciplined here. We haven't sung a Christmas song yet, so I'm going to try something and see if you can echo back. Hark the herald angels sing. Very good. Peace on earth and mercy mild. Very good. All right, we're warmed up for next week where we have our carol service. In the morning, we're not calling it a carol service, but that's going to be what it is. Can you see that? Just a little bit smaller than normal. Do we ever pause and think and ask ourselves, what words are we actually singing when we say those words? For one thing, what in the world is hark? Well, it's listen. Listen to what the angels are singing. And herald, I used to think it was an angel named Harold. But herald means messenger. So what is their message? The song goes on to say, peace on earth and mercy. God and sinners reconciled. Amazing, amazing songs that we sing. And here's the passage from Scripture in Luke chapter 2 that song refers to. And here's picking up in just a little bit of the story. You might be familiar with the Christmas story. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Do you see that? Good news of great joy for all the people. So this is the start of just a short Christmas series that we've put together this week, next week, and the week after. Next week we'll be looking at why the birth of Jesus is news of great joy. Why is it good news of great joy? And if it's good news of great joy, then on Christmas Day, we're going to explore what does it mean that it's for all people. But our focus for today is, why is the birth of Jesus good news? Why is it good news? And we're going to look at two texts this morning. One is a letter from Paul, and the other is a song that Mary sings when she's told that she will give birth to Jesus. And so here's what we're going to look at. Here's what we'll see in the text, and it's from Ephesians chapter 2. The birth of Jesus is good news because the good news of Jesus gives us new life. It gives us a new home, and it gives us a new purpose. So just pause and ask yourself, and if you're already a follower of Jesus today, maybe ask yourself, where would I be today without the new life that I have in Jesus? Just pause and ask yourself that. And if you don't identify as a Christian, but you're curious, maybe ask yourself, am I ready for a new life? Am I ready for a new home and a new purpose? So if you will, you can grab the Bible that's there behind you, hopefully in the seats right there. We're a little bit different around the tables today, so maybe grab a Bible in front of you if you see those instead. Grab a Bible and open to Ephesians chapter 2. It's on page 1108. Ephesians chapter 2. First, let's look at the good news in the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Ephesus. Keep in mind that this was written not very long after Jesus had lived on earth. So this is after Jesus' death, his resurrection. It's after Jesus had returned to heaven, and soon after Jesus' followers had started to travel the world to tell people this good news and to start churches. Okay, so this is what Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2. Just the first 10 verses. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If you're not familiar with it, this is one of the clearest places that Paul, one of the early messengers of Christianity, describes the good news of the gospel. And it's got all of that familiar Paul language in there. But if you're new to it, let me just point out a couple of things to get us started as we look at this text, just so we know what we're looking at. First of all, look at the contrast right there with the text right in front of you. Look at the contrast in the text in those 10 verses. See how we are dead in sin in verse 1. But made alive in Christ, in verse 5. And then there's this use of the word work, the work of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the evil one, in verse 2. In contrast to your work, in verse 9, and God's handiwork, in verse 10. And then he goes on to say that because of our sin, we were deserving of wrath. Do you see that in verse 3? But the life and work of Jesus is the kindness of God. So we deserve wrath, but we get the kindness of God in verse 7. Do you see that? Just the contrast in those few verses. The other thing that you'll notice is this theme of in Christ and with Christ. Did you see how many times it says that? In verse 5, you're alive with Christ. In verse 6, you're raised up with Christ. You're seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In verse 7, God expresses his kindness to us in Christ. And in verse 10, he created us in Christ to do good works. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, if you believe in Jesus, you used to live one way, but now you live another way because of Jesus Christ. You've been given a new life. And the arrival of Jesus on the scene, this Christmas story, is good news. It's good news because he brings us new life. He gives us a new home, and he gives us a new purpose in life. So let's explore that just a little bit. What does it mean that we have new life in Christ? In verse 1, it says we were dead in sin. We were walking around following the way of evil, verse 2, the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3 says we were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and its thoughts. Paul's saying here, all of us were caught up in the madness. Anybody resonate with that? Paul continues in verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Because of the way we were living, we were headed towards destruction. But then the whole sentence that Paul writes here turns in verse 4 with that big word, and I love it. But because of who God is, verse 5, God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in sin. Now, why does he give us a new life? Because of who God is, not because of anything that we deserve. Verse 3, we deserve death, but he makes us alive in Christ, verse 5. And why? Because of the good things you've done, the good efforts that you've made, because you deserve it? No, because of who God is. Look at verse 4. Because of his great love for us, because God, who is rich in mercy, and that word mercy means full of compassion for the helpless, because of his great mercy And look at verse 7 there. That word kindness means his favor. Because of his mercy, his compassion, his favor, he made us alive in Christ. And that word made, it's kind of the main verb of the entire run-on sentence that Paul starts with in the text that we're looking at here today. It's the main action. This enormous run-on sentence. And here Paul shifts it and says, he made us alive in Christ. We were dead, and then God made us alive. We were caught up in the madness, and then God gave us new life. We deserved destruction, but God reached in to rescue us. That's what Paul calls grace. That's what this passage is about. Paul says God's mercy reaching in to rescue us from our own self-destruction is God's grace. It's his kindness to us. So why do we sing about good news at Christmas? Because God's greatest gift to us was Jesus, sent by God to the earth to live among humans and then to suffer and to die the punishment that we deserved. Jesus suffers death on a cross and defeats death once and for all by rising up from the grave 3 days later so that we can receive a new life. So here's the good news. You don't have to live like a walking zombie anymore, the walking dead in your sins, as Paul says. You don't have to live like that anymore. God has made you alive in Jesus. So we don't use the word very often, but hark. Hark, listen to what the angels are singing about. Listen to what Paul is celebrating here. Paul writes, you've been given a new life. You've also been given a new home. You've been given a new postcode, if you will. Look at the way that you used to live. Look at where you were, verse 2. You were walking around following the ways of the world. And he says in verse 3, all of us live like that. Paul widens the circle, not just to the little group he's writing about, but to all of the people that have come before them. And let me just pause here and just say, too, here at Good Shepherd Mission, it can be really easy for us to think of each other in these different groups, right? There's some people in recovery. There's some people from another religion who might be curious. And then there's these people that have been around, you know, as Christians since Moses, and have everything put together, and it's us and it's them, right? No way. That's not what it is here. Paul says all of us, remember, were caught up in the cravings and the desires of our sinful nature. We were following them out, our thoughts, our desires, at some point in our lives. But now, when we begin to trust Jesus, we're made alive in Christ, verse 5. And verse 6, but wait, there's more. He's raised us up. God has raised us up, look at verse 6, with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Paul says you've been given a new home. You've been given a new postcode, if you will, a new family and identity. You used to live here, walking around in the world like a dead man, and now you live over here. You have a seat with Christ. And a heavenly address. You have a new identity, a new culture, a different language, or maybe at least a different accent. My parents used to live in Tennessee. I was born there. And then we moved to California when I was 3. And so I watched as my parents slowly changed from slow-talking Tennessee Southerners to laid-back Californians. When we moved, our diet changed. The way we spent our free time changed. And 2 of my children were born in California but have lived in England most of their lives. All 3 of them have U.S. passports, but they identify culturally as British. See, when you move somewhere, you start to act like a local, don't you? You pick up the accent. You pick up the customs. You pick up the mannerisms. I used to put my boots in the trunk of the car, and now I put my trunk in the boot of the car. I used to watch Americans lose at football, and now they still lose at football. Living from a new home changes what you value, doesn't it? It changes how you spend your money. It changes how you make decisions, how you spend your time. The Bible says we are made alive in Christ, and we are also given a new heavenly postcode even while we continue to live here on earth. And so let me stop here and just point out, and it's a great thing to note at Christmas because we can lose the storyline of Jesus celebrating him being born, right? He changed his address to come from heaven and to live here on earth to be with us and to walk among humans. Look at the downward journey of Jesus to be amongst us, that amazing Christmas gift that we receive. That Jesus came down from heaven so that by grace we could be raised up to heaven with him. So here's the good news, another reason to hark. You have a new place to live. And that is amazing news. It's good news that changes your postcode and changes your lifestyle so that you can begin to live differently. You've been given a new life, you've been given a new home, and you've also been given a new purpose. We used to live for something else, Paul says, to gratify our cravings, right? We were slaves to our desires and to our thoughts. But now, verse 10, look at the very last one we read, we are God's handiwork. We're God's work of art. That's what that means. God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let me ask you, are you tired of living a meaningless, futile life? Living to satisfy your cravings and desires? It's exhausting work, isn't it? It's exhausting to try to be good enough to earn your way to heaven, to somehow try to get it right and be perfect. Paul says there's another way. There's another way. You were created for more. And so here's the good news of Christmas. You don't have to live like that anymore. Without hope and without purpose, you don't have to live like that anymore. God has made you alive. He's given you a new home, and he's created you for a purpose. I had the opportunity a couple of months ago while I was traveling to visit with a friend of mine named Rick. Rick was over in Ireland, actually. He lives in the States, but he was in Ireland on a trip, and he somehow fell and broke his neck. Ended up in the hospital, and while he was in the hospital, ended up with COVID. And they called in his wife after his heart stopped for a couple of minutes, and they said, you're going to need to come in and say goodbye. My friend Rick had people around the world praying for him. And it is a miracle, a living miracle, and an amazing answer to prayer that he didn't end up dying. He would describe it as so close to death that he could almost kind of see it as an abyss opening up in front of him. And now, amazingly, he's back in the States, fully in recovery, still got a brace around his neck, but he's walking, he's talking, he's able to speak, and doctors are kind of amazed at the fact that he is not just alive, but moving and able to speak at all. And as he came back, and as I chatted with him, he said, I feel like I've been given a new purpose in life. He said, God made it so clear to me after all of that, really three things, he said. Three things. One, I want to live in sobriety, which was kind of a gift that God wanted to give him. I want you to live in sobriety. The second was, he said, I've been told by God I need to live a life of loving my wife and my kids in a different kind of way. And the third one was, I'm going to give you a purpose. God said, I've got a purpose for you. I'm not done with you yet. Friends, how many of us were dead in our sins and were given a new life? We were given a new place to live and a new purpose for that life. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's your story too. And Paul writes it. We've seen it in the writings of Paul. Let's take a look at Mary's song. It's in chapter 1 of Luke, and you can turn to it. It's on page 969. And let's actually look at Mary's song through the lens of this good news that Paul talks about. Let me just tell you a little bit of the occasion here. Before Jesus was born, his mother Mary was visited by an angel, another angel. Maybe we should hark. And was told, this Mary was told she would be miraculously having a son and that she should name him Jesus. Now, Mary was the kind of person who liked to ponder things. She would think them over. She was probably an introvert. I bet she had a great journal. And she sings this song in Luke chapter 1. Picking up in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Now, as I read this, I would love for you to listen to these themes of new life, new home, and new purpose. Let's see if we see it in Mary's song. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." That's Mary saying, "I was dead, but now I'm alive." From now on, do you hear her new sense of purpose? "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I have a new way of life." His mercy, remember we define that as compassion for the helpless. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." They've been given a new home, raised up into the heavenly realm with Christ. She goes on, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." See, here it is, God's work, God's promises, not our own. Mary is singing about the gift of Jesus, the good news of salvation to many generations. This is the good news of the gospel. And it's before Jesus is even born. She sings of it. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So she holds this in her heart. She sings about it. And we sing about it. We join with the angels. We gather together. We'll do it next Sunday and the Sunday after that. And we'll sing about good news of great joy for all people. Not just because Jesus was born, but because he lived the perfect life and he died a brutal death on our behalf. "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So what can we do in response to this gift of good news? What can we do? Well, if you're here and you're sort of curious, let me invite you to receive the gift. This gift that's available, there's nothing that you can do to earn it. There's not even really a reason that you deserve it. It's simply a gift that's on offer. And Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast." Paul says, even faith itself is a gift. So receive it. That's my invitation to you. You can't give it to yourself. How many of us, have you ever tried this? You kind of get that thing you know you want for Christmas and you sneak it under the tree, just kind of put your name on it and hope nobody notices that you bought it for yourself. And just kind of pull it out and just, "Oh, wow, what's this?" I see some people shaking heads like, "Yeah, I've tried that. Oh, look at this, how thoughtful. Thank you so much, it's just what I wanted." You can't give it to yourself. God extends it to you. So friends, if you are here and you're curious, maybe you're even skeptical, but you know you want that new life, that new home, that new purpose, receive the gift. And if you're a believer who's been around for a while, but it's kind of gotten old or stale, let me encourage you to consider living from that new postcode. Or maybe it's new to you and it's time to really move in, you know, unpack the boxes and live in that new home. And there are ways that we can help you with that. We want to encourage you to dig into some of the Bible studies or to link up into an accountability group or find one of your spiritual sponsors here in the church that can walk with you through all of this. Not somebody who's got it all together, but someone just a little bit further down the road who can show you the way and journey with you. And for all of us, maybe we just need to pray about our purpose. God, why do you have me here? Why rescue me? Why redeem me? And for what purpose? What is it that you created me to do? The good works that you prepared in advance for me to live out. That's a great thing to talk over with someone. Here at the church, one of us, we'd love to do that with you. I know we'd love to pray with you just to explore, what is my purpose, God? How can I follow the new life that you've given me? What's the good news that we sing at Christmas? That hark, the herald angels sing hymn continues with this. Hail, the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail, that's worship, the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. And then it says this, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. That's a new life. Born to raise the sons of earth a new home. Born to give them second birth, a new purpose. So listen, my friends, my brothers and sisters, listen to what the angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Let's pray. God, what an amazing work you have done in our lives. And we thank you. More than anything, we thank you for the new life that you offer. We were dead in our sins. We didn't deserve anything but destruction. And yet you met us. And that is such good news. God, as you move in our hearts this morning and through this coming week, I pray for those who are ready for a new life and a new home. Lord, we thank you that your love and mercy extends to each one of us and that you give the gift of faith. And so I ask now, in Jesus' name, would you cause faith to rise up? Would you stir up faith within each one of us here? Lord, thank you for changing our heavenly address, for seating us with you in the heavenly realm as we continue to walk out on earth and fulfill our purpose. And God, would you direct our steps? I pray that for me, for all of us in this room this morning, and for us together as the Good Shepherd Mission, make us your people who are marked by a new life with a new purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.